This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, July 22nd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Chicken farmer runs for Congress. California sues Trump over rail funding. USDA nominees are piling up, and the Philippines and U.S. are talking trade. Chicken farmer challenging Calvert. Democrat Catherine Alleman, a middle school teacher and part-time chicken farmer, officially entering the 2026 congressional race, that against Republican incumbent Ken Calvert, who has held the seat for more than three decades. Raised on the El Toro Marine Corps base and a former Peace Corps volunteer in Paraguay, Alleman is emphasizing her Inland Empire roots and fluency in Spanish. She balances a career as a public school teacher in Corona with running a small egg operation called the Fluffy Butt Ranch, selling to local consumers. Her candidacy has drawn endorsements from former U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer and more than 70 local leaders, positioning her as a serious challenger to Calvert, who maintains a significant campaign war chest and seniority in Congress. Alleman argues her lived experience as a teacher, a parent, a small-scale farmer makes her better suited to represent working families across Riverside County. Take note, ag remains a vital economic driver in the district. Riverside County produces $1.54 billion in crop value in 2023, led by vegetables and melons, nursery stock, and tree fruits. The Coachella Valley, which overlaps the district, supplies nearly 95% of the nation's dates. It also grows grapes, citrus, and specialty vegetables. California sues Trump over $4 billion high-speed rail funding cut. California has filed a federal lawsuit against the Trump administration challenging the abrupt rescission of $4 billion in federal funding for the high-speed rail project. The lawsuit, filed in a U.S. district court, alleges the move was arbitrary and capricious, driven by Trump's personal animus toward the state and not legitimate concerns. Governor Gavin Newsom, heading the challenge alongside Attorney General Rob Bonta, condemned the funding clawback as a petty retribution designed to punish California. The state contends it has fulfilled its obligation under the grant agreement, pointing to more than 50 major structures and 60 miles of guideway already completed in the Merced-Bakersfield segment. Federal Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy defended the decision, citing cost overruns, missed deadlines, and failed ridership projections. The coming legal battle, likely to intensify tensions and ongoing disputes between California and the federal government. USDA nominees advance, but floor delays continue. The Senate Ag Committee has sent two more USDA nominations to the floor. Last night, the committee approved the nominations of Dudley Hoskins to be Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs and Scott Hutchins to be Undersecretary for Research, Education, and Economics. Both nominations were approved on a bipartisan 20-3 vote. Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman of Arkansas delayed action on two more nominees who lacked Democratic support because of flight delays preventing one GOP senator, Sidney Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, from being present to cast a potential tie-breaking vote. Those nominees, Michael Boren to be Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment, and Brian Quintez to chair the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Now keep this in mind. Senate Ag now has five USDA nominees pending floor action, including Luke Lindbergh, President Trump's pick as Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs. A sixth nominee, Richard Fordyce, Trump's pick to be Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation. He'll have his confirmation hearing on Wednesday. Trump, facing sustained Democratic resistance to fast-tracking his nominees, is pressuring Senate Majority Leader John Thune to cancel the August recess. We're working with Senator Thune to get floor time. It's really important that the Secretary has the people that she needs in order to operate efficiently, Bozeman told reporters after the committee votes, referring to Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. Now, looking ahead, The House Ag Committee scheduled today to act on grain standards and reauthorization legislation. Senate Ag Committee will have a hearing on the issue next week. The goal is to get a final bill through Congress in September. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Philippine President heads to the White House amid trade deal push. Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. slated to meet with President Trump at the White House today. He's trying to avoid a 20% tariff set to kick in August 1st. Marcos has focused on bolstering U.S. trade ties since he took office. He told reporters ahead of the visit he intends to raise the trade issue with the president and examine ways to prevent a, quote, very severe tariff schedule. Former U.S. trade official Mark Linscott told AgriPulse that he's skeptical the two sides would emerge from the meeting with a deal. The deals Trump has announced with other Southeast Asian countries, including Indonesia and Vietnam, have been keeping tariffs around 20% in place. If the president pushes for a similar deal with the Philippines, Linscott says Marcos will have little incentive to sign. Vietnam and Indonesia seem to be the template, Linscott said. If Trump wants to keep tariffs at around 20% but wants major concessions, what good is doing a deal, he said. Linscott also added there is a real risk that Trump fails to capitalize on the leverage he has created with tariffs by pushing to retain tariff rates that are too high for allies to swallow. Kellogg's ups its pledge to phase out artificial dyes. The maker of Fruit Loops and other popular children's cereals has upped its commitment to phase out artificial dyes. WK Kellogg Company posted on its website that it will remove remaining artificial food dyes from retail products by the end of 2027. This builds on their previous pledge to remove synthetic dyes from products served in school meals by the 2026-27 school year and to ensure new products do not contain the dyes. Now, the company noted on its website 85% of its cereal sales already do not use artificial dyes. This follows an increasing wave of company pledges to phase out artificial dyes after the Trump administration launched a plan to transition to natural dyes. The administration's plan largely relied on voluntary industry buy-in, however. Well, here's today's final word. Come by and check out some of our bugs. That Jacob Lopez. He's a UC Davis animal biology student who is showcasing bugs this month at the Insect Pavilion in the California State Fair. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, July 22nd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.